cut marker. It's a pleasure and an honor to present the duo in finale, Linus and Thorsten Schröder, with their talk. Linus is press person for the Chaos Communication Club, and Thorsten is a security guy, apparently. You might remember in 2017, the first season was published on CCC Flix. It was a publication by Linus and TAS where they found hair-raising security issues in election software called PC-Wahl. So what's happened in the meantime? These manufacturers didn't close security holes. The cartel has increased, and the manufacturers of these softwares are increasingly undermining the trust in our democracy. And our speakers will be looking at whether their recommendations from 2017 have been followed. So let's start up our decompiler and give a large hand to Thorsten and Linus.
Schönen guten Abend.
Good evening. You can't imagine how happy, how pleased we are to be back here. And we brought along a test. It's the Thuringia test, because we're worried about Thuringia, and the Turing test needs an update, and that's why we'll be defining the Thuringia test for election software. I personally helped conduct the federal election in Berlin that was happened simultaneously to a marathon, and that had to be redone in 20% of electoral districts in Berlin, partly because officers were drunk or because of missing keys for the room with the necessary papers. Another officer had an accident in a taxi, but at least the marathon didn't have to be redone, so that's something. We know that elections are thorny chances. In New Brandenburg, the FDP party had a completely new idea, because they nominated their candidate for the party Die Basis and the FDP party. It was something with IT. Somebody wasn't looking properly. Then there were issues with mail-in ballots in Rhineland-Palatinate, where misnumbered papers were sent out because the software documentation was faulty. So you have bad software and you write bad documentation for it, and that gives you Rhineland-Palatinate. But at least the software wasn't broken, right? No, that was in Saxony, where the software was broken, where seat distribution was corrected. There was a rounding error. If I remember correctly, CDU and AfD got fewer seats, and SPD and the Greens got more seats. And this changed the distributions of the majorities in Saxony fundamentally. So what happened? We were looking at this in 2017 together with Martin, when we looked at the PC-Wahl software. This, by the way, is the original logo from the documentation, from the manual. That's what it looked like 8 years ago. I'm not kidding. So you can imagine what comes next. Let's summarize. You had to be in a VPN in Hessen. The username and password were test. the electoral results were sent to a FTP server. The credentials for this server were stored in the configuration files for each individual installation of the software, and the user was FTP, but the password was something else. It was Wahlen, FTP, and these were unsigned. So with this combination, you could log into the FTP server and store different results. But that was only possible in the federal state of Hesse. And Torsten said, well, that's not enough. We have to unify the entire country. And in combination with an arbitrary file write in self-written PHP, he wrote malicious software for PCWahl because everyone was asked to do an update in advance, and then was broken again. So people were asked to update, and then got broken again. And then, well, we said, let's define the Thuringia test. We don't want passwords and secrets in clear text. We want individual passwords. We want signed configuration, so you can't reconfigure others. We want signed results, so that if somebody posts wrong results to an FTP server, we can detect that. Difficult requirement. We want no code injection. We want the whole thing in open source, and you don't have to roll your own crypto. That's what was great about PCWahl. They wrote their own crypto, and that wasn't great. They encrypted software updates instead of signing them. It's a classic mistake that not only haunts us in IT, but also in normal IT, but also in electoral software. And that was a difficult algorithm, that. And at the time, we notified the manufacturer, and we quickly got calls from the Federal Office for IT Security and the Federal Ministry of the Interior, because you can tell the BSI, the Federal Office for IT Security, talk to the manufacturer and give them requirements, but they say, well, it's not that easy. They misconfigured their updates. And we were on the phone to the BSI and telling them that they have to sign their updates, not encrypt them. So we donated an update or a solution. It didn't help, because the manufacturer, of course, did not accept it, because anybody could come. That would be some code injection. And then the Federal Office for IT Security did an emergency procedure, and it looked like this. They said it would be nice if you could safeguard integrity and authenticity of the results. That's especially important for the first results, which are supposed to be public the next morning at the latest, and then 2-3 weeks later you get the official end result. And that's something that's important to mention. This software from 2017 is only for the initial, for the immediate result and the prognoses, so that you can quickly calculate a seed distribution. But you can imagine what happens when you correct the election 10 days later. It doesn't necessarily strengthen trust in democracy and the processes. So the Federal Office for IT Security said, yeah, we have a great idea. If you have one channel that you cannot trust, let's take a second one. Let's add a second one. You can send it on the first channel, and then you notify on the second channel, and the second channel could be signed, but that would need public key infrastructure. So you might as well use the telephone. So we have software that is so insecure that phone calls are a safety measure. The smallest electoral districts also use phones. Not all of them have laptops. There were 450 polling offices in Berlin that had issues, 20%. Cologne said, yeah, we're going to do it. They have these guidelines for the federal elections in 2025 that surprisingly happens in February. There's the phone number for the immediate notification of the results, and this is a requirement. And my favorite part is the electoral office asks you for your patience because there might be waiting times. Please do not hang up.
Please speak clearly.
Und dann ist erstmal.
After the election 2017, not a lot happened until we got an email that said, yeah, hi, we're the Federal Institute of Information Security. Do you remember us? We basically broke the election software and we offered to fix it. And we have a catalog of requirements now in the first version that is final that we're gonna publish next week. And could you please review this 80-page document and give us your feedback? And that contains beautiful graphs and images like this. This is a nice diagram, shows you how the election works. And it says the target audience. This a catalog of requirements is directed at the electoral offices of all layers of the government, from the local level to the government. So already this is wrong because not all of them are involved. And then there are also requirements about digital security, like high security, and it implies certain things. And it's crazy to involve us 1 week ahead of time. And we're like, what the fuck? What are you doing? That makes no sense. And yeah, well, I mean, then they started the next election. We call it the open campaign. And we were thinking, what are they going to use? I mean, they didn't change it. They cannot have implemented it already. There were a few hints, like there's a rounding error in Saxony that was reported about, and there was a lot of investigative journalism happening, and that made it clearer which software it is. And we then decided, yeah, let's take a deep look again. So especially because the election official in Saxony was very tight-lipped about what's being used, and we said, well, what's up, you know, can you tell us? It's important that we have a lot of transparency on this subject, and we have a democratic election, you know, there shouldn't be any chaos happening, and we don't want any conspiracy theories. What was wrong, you know? Was there an implementation error? Was there a configuration problem? And I got the answer a few hours later. At least the state election officer could not give me the answer due to information security. That's one of our favorite excuses. Like, data privacy is never a good reason for that. So we asked in the internet if someone could donate that software to us. And that happened. So we got that software. And we started researching a little bit. Which company is the one producing it? What's the offer? And then you find things like Ibu Elect, Vote Group. This is the name of the new company. And the first thing you do when you research this is you check the website, and they actually have one, which is already great. This is the webpage. It actually has a WordPress. You can leave comments there, and we saw the Russian has already been here. Okay. Probably Putin found it. So we figured there's no spam protection. The screenshot is from yesterday. It's probably count 800 and counting, and I could imagine a few more people tonight will feel inspired to add to that and pile on. The internet is a dark place. So what are you going to do if you have that software? So as the Pooper said, let's try out decompiler, but also it's we were just curious to just run it, you know? And we took this donated software and put it into a virtual machine and we started it up. We'll show you how the startup looks. The software is being transferred to every computer in the electoral office via USB stick. So they are usually at the place where the polling booths are, where the voting happens. They're not in any centralized location. So they take this USB stick, they insert it into the computer, and then they use a start.bat. So modern technology. And I'm going to show you how long that takes. There's a stopwatch here. Okay, we're going to deduct 3 seconds just for accounting what's happening here. So this election software first copies itself from the USB stick to the hard disk. Well, not itself. It starts off with LibreOffice. Now it's copying a browser, so there's a complete LibreOffice, a complete Chromium, and after 10 minutes, yeah, it's on time, you basically, you enter the election software and then, yeah, that's a pun on an old quote by a German politician about stepping into on the train and at the central station and then being at the airport. Okay, so this is a 4-core CPU SSDs for the storage. So 32 gig RAM. This is not a slow computer. It's the software. Trust us. So then you're allowed to enter a check digit for the electoral office, and it's more or less a password. It's secret. It's gonna be sent to you via pigeons, and only the people who really are allowed to use that have that checksum or that check number. And you don't have a user because obviously this number is unique to your electoral district. So we're going to do that. So this is one of these configuration files. It tells you what offices there are, which districts, what the voting sheets look like, so the paper you vote on, the form, and you can find, or you can, yeah, you can configure LibreOffice templates, and they're embedded, and this file is inline, and you can also change it, because obviously they're not signed, so we just entered our own templates into this and had our own voting software after that. So LibreOffice has macros, so you could actually insert a virus as well if you want. So we can put in our own form. And so we failed the first requirement in the check. So it's not signed. The tally at the end is not open source, so even though they use LibreOffice, so I give them a little credit for using open source software as a component within the solution, but still. So it's a Java application, so there's not just the LibreOffice in there, there's the whole user interface is actually a web browser, and that calls a service on localhost via HTTP, and that's a huge Java enterprise application in the background. I mean, you can do that. It's a little weird, but whatever. And we took a look and we decompiled it. Just the part that does the part that takes the data for the election results is about 80,000 classes in Java big, so we can run across it and look a little into this, and this already looks like code injection. But yeah, near miss. It's they almost made it. You can spawn a process from Java in a sane way and in a less sane way. Then they were, I guess, I don't think they were wise or competent. They were just lucky in this case. So it's not how you would do it, but it's also it didn't result in an exploit this time. So and this here is another excerpt from the configuration. And as you know, this is the same for all of the computers in all of the different districts. So this is shared across all of them. And this tells you these checksums that we saw earlier, that is basically the username password combination in one. And they're not in clear text. That's great. So you see the external ID here. This is a hash of a password. So that's actually pretty good. Let's give them an applause. And they even use a salt. Together with the hash function in order to generate the hash. They use SHE. SHA, they use HMAC, so it's not bad. I mean, state of the art, more or less. But it's in a file, and this is shared, so there are 40, 50 or more of these passwords. And what I'm wondering is, if I don't have to enter a user, what are you going to do? So when the user, when the user enters the checksum, what's it going to do? Are they going to check it again, all of these external IDs, and just generates the hash with the salt? And if it matches, then that's it? Or yeah, so then if it matches this particular ID, for example, then we would be in WLAN. And the problem is, if you're the last election law office, then
es sollte auf jeden Fall keine Kollision geben, also Passwörter sollten da nicht wiederverwendet
werden. Passwords shouldn't be reused. There's a sort here. I think this is pretty good. On the surface, this looks pretty good. There are individual passwords for each polling office. And passwords and secrets are not in clear text. What's left to screw up? Well, when you configure an election, you also need someone who writes this, or you need a tool that writes this file. There's something called WAS, Wahlauswertungssystem Election.
Was war denn das dann jetzt?
Was? Election Analysis System? The other one.
Da kann ich Wahlen quasi anlegen, dafür steht das aber nicht.
Where you can create elections.
Hier kann man dann die Einstellung
von sogenannten Prüfkennzeichen. Here you can configure these passwords or these check digits. And it won't allow you to create single-digit passwords. It has to be at least two for security, but it's going to be hashed, and it's a really large hash. I've never seen a hash this big. It's a really big hash. I didn't know you could turn the two-digit password into such a large hash. The trouble is that you can choose secure alternatives, so UUIDs, which are not incremental, UUIDs, which are not incremental. Well, but we were looking at, well, is this being signed? Are the, if when I'm done entering my results, are the results being signed? The manufacturer said, yes, of course, everything is being signed, especially results. And there are federal authorities or authorities that are saying that election results need to be signed. And if the manufacturer says, I can't do that, they have to explain why. But these results are signed. Yeah, great. We can't modify anything on the way because this XML file is zipped and placed on a USB stick and sent to a central authority or sent via the internet. But let's look at the signing function, the signature function. We're taking data because we want to sign data, and we're taking data twice because that's better. We're gluing data together.
Okay, so weit so gut.
Okay, so far so good.
Die zu signierenden Daten werden
jetzt erstmal data to be signed are now base 64 encoded. When I first looked at this software, I noticed that they have a slight fetish for base 64 encoding in encryption, maybe. And this base 64 data is thrown into a function called get encrypted password as base 64 encoded string. It doesn't sound a lot like a signing function. They're taking this password that the user specified at login and the data to be signed. Okay, I'm going to solve this so you don't have to look at even more code. This function is exactly the function that calculates the password hash when you log in. So, as we can see on the right, all they're doing is generating a hash from the message and the password. And that's what they call a signature. But that's not how you do it, no. So on the left, you see how the Federal Office for IT Security would recommend doing it. You have a message and a private key that's kept secret, and from that you generate a signature. And using a public key, you can check if the signature is correct for the message. But Vote Group said, we're going to do a hash and we're going to sell it as a signature. And they sold this to the authorities. And I wonder, how come nobody noticed? Because somebody has to accept this software. How is it being, what are the criteria for that? Because in the worst case, all I need for the signature is two digits. That's exactly why you're not doing it this way. You're not supposed to do it this way. So no, these are not really signed. And as for not rolling your own crypto, well, we've colored it yellow because they're using a good key derivation function. Yeah, you can really say that. It's we were thrilled to find that they were using they were not using their own crypto, but they weren't doing so well. But what about these green cells? Can we actually give them, or should we have another look at the config file? Yeah, as I mentioned, you can send these results by USB stick, but you can also send them via the internet. So what do you need for that? You need an FTP server. There's a web service with a URL. And what do you need when you want to speak to web service and want to make sure that you are authorized to publish the results for a certain electoral district, yes, you need a password. And the password for all the offices, all the polling stations is in this configuration files that is shared with everyone. So, unfortunately, we're not handing out any points tonight. And so this is the final result. We didn't find any code injection, but only just. And the crypto is not hand-rolled, but also not useful. So how come that our authorities are buying something like this for this important act of democracy? And when we last looked at this, this is what the market looked like. There was Vote IT, there was PCVAL, and there was IVU Elect. And what happened shortly before our analysis of PCVAL is this. Vote IT went shopping. Boom. This was just ahead of our analysis, and we had this suspicion that the manufacturer of PCVAL was laughing themselves to sleep. This was a good price. But what's being sold here is not the product of electoral software, but you're also selling customers. And the main developer of PCVAL, Volker Benninger, who switched to Vote IT, said, well, this is a lot better because now we're applying the guidelines for secure applications and the Open Web Application Security Project guidelines. And we are also doing penetration tests, which is where we suspect that this hashing infection comes from. And then EVU Elect renames themselves to Elect, because IVU has a lot of other companies and they wanted to divest themselves of Elect. Why would that be? Maybe somebody wanted to buy it. How about Vote IT? And so Vote IT comes and purchases the third competing product, or the second competing product, and now as a monopoly, they can say that, hey, if you like a clean code and simple solutions, you can find high professional security through a large customer basis. So they bought the entire market, and I wouldn't even blame a company for this, for purchasing their competitors, but not for electoral software, and especially not in this quality, because if they no longer have any competition, then they can get away with this kind of bad software, because there is no competition. They're going to say, deal with it. And if you want to improve it, well, you're going to have to pay up. This is what their website has been looking like for a year. We were hoping that, we were wishing for these things being fixed that we were complaining about in 2017. And there's a decisive role for the BSI, the Federal Office for IT Security, who wrote a guideline for people who probably cannot understand or implement these guidelines. But these the manufacturers of this software, who are now a monopoly, aren't being investigated at all. They're leading to problems election after election. And the BSI recommends phones calling in the results instead of requiring a secure software, which they did in other places.
Erfüllt das und dann wird eben quasi eine Eigenbestätigung, dass man das getan hat, zur Anforderung für den Einkauf und zack, kannst du so einen Markt sehr schnell dazu zwingen, sich ordentlich zu verhalten. Das haben wir aber nicht getan. Applaus fürs BSI. Dann hätten wir noch one more thing.
Das da ist der Dieter.
Ja, leider funktioniert der Ton an meinem Rechner nicht. Den Jungs da oben trifft keine Schuld, ist meine Schuld. Wir müssen das jetzt ohne Ton zeigen, aber wir haben einen Link zu dem Video, in dem die nächsten Aspirationen der Vote Group
ausgezogen. Dass wir dann mit den Verantwortlichen darüber reden werden, ob es nicht eine Zielsetzung sein könnte, halt eben auch für die wahlberechtigten Auslandsdeutschen dieses Thema digitales Wählen als Modellversuch, als eine weitere Distanzwahl einzusetzen.
Richtig gute Idee. Richtig gut. Ey, wenn wir diese Software auch noch ans Internet hängen,
dann kann eigentlich nichts mehr schiefgehen.
Nee. Kann nichts passieren. Ja, anstatt sich irgendwie mal darum zu kümmern, sich selbst auch einfach mal Richtlinien aufzuerlegen. Also ich weiß nicht, mein Anspruch wäre jetzt, wenn ich der Typ da wäre, würde ich sagen, sag mal, können wir vielleicht mal irgendwie Richtlinien festlegen, was für Anforderungen es an Wahlsoftware gibt. Die haben ja sogar noch einen Verein gegründet hier. Wie heißt der nochmal? Wahlsoftware-Anwenderinnen-Gemeinschaft e.V. Genau,
der hieß ja irgendwie Vote-Manager-Anwenderinnen-Gemeinschaft. Als sie da den Markt aufgekauft hatten, haben sie eine Wahlsoftware-Anwenderinnen-Gemeinschaft genannt. Und das Schöne an diesem Verein ist, also man kann sich da einen Vorstand wählen lassen, ja, allerdings nur, wenn man von der Comvis und der Vote Group vorgeschlagen oder der Vote Group vorgeschlagen wurde. Also ein super Verein, mit dem sie jetzt quasi
lobbyieren gehen und versuchen, das hier durchzusetzen, anstatt sich erstmal darum zu bemühen. Bevor wir uns auf dieses glatte Eis wagen, lass uns doch einfach auch mal von offizieller Stelle mal ein Okay holen, dass das, was wir hier tun, eigentlich auch in Ordnung ist. Nicht, dass uns das irgendwann auf die Füße fällt.
Haben die kein Interesse dran und ich glaube, ach, jetzt haben wir die Umsatzgrafik nicht. Ja, ein paar Millionen Umsatzsteigerung seit 2020. Ja. Hätte ich auch keinen Bock drauf, dann noch mir irgendwie über die Sicherheit Gedanken zu machen. Ja, wir wünschten uns, wir hätten bessere Nachrichten für euch. Leider müssen wir konstatieren, dass die Software, die aktuell im Einsatz ist, den Anforderungen des BSI nicht entspricht. Wir freuen uns auf die Ausreden zum 23. Februar, warum man sie trotzdem einsetzt und auf eine weitere Einladung des BSI, ein fertiges Papier zu kommentieren, 2027. Und bis dahin wünschen wir euch allzeit eine gute Wahl. Vielen Dank.
Applaus, 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 Applaus. Applaus, Applaus. Applaus, 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 Applaus. THS, Linus, euer Applaus und ihr kennt das
THS, Linus, your applause. So, you know the game, if you're in the room, walk towards the mics in the aisles. And I'm going to ask the signal angels if there are questions out in the internet, then the internet wants to know what the development of the software had cost. We don't know, that's not public, obviously, but we know what it costs the state of Germany. Well, it's not, well, technically we don't know that either, because basically the contracts they signed were not public. And but then again, you can just check the balance sheet for the company, because it's mostly their revenue. So, there's a question from mic 4. Did you actually analyze PC Wahl or the Elect IT? Which one did you look at? This was Elect. Thank you for asking to clarify this. This was the one that now belongs to the Vote Group. Limited. PC Wahl was discontinued, at least its support for PC Wahl in 2020. That's the one where Banninger said we're going to implement a secure software development lifecycle. So again, warm applause for the speakers and